It's been suggested that the 10 most important two-letter words are the ones projected before you. If it is to be, it is up to me. I hope that you'll not forget that. Application can be made of that in so many ways. If it is to be, it is up to me. That's true of the home, isn't it? It's true of husbands and fathers, wives and mothers. If it is for me to be the kind of husband that I need to be, to nourish, to cherish, to love, to honor my wife, to be the kind of father that I need to be, to train up a child in the way he should go, to bring up my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it is up to me. You can't do that for me, can you? It is up to me. And that's true of the woman in the home, to be the kind of wife that you need to be. If it is to be for you to reverence your husband, to be in subjection to his headship, to love your husband, and to be the kind of mother that you need to be, to emulate, imitate the virtuous woman, Proverbs 31, to love your children, it is up to you. Yes, we need women in the home who recognize, if it is to be, it is up to me. You have to step up to the plate, and I have to do that as well in the home. It's up to me. And that's true in the workplace, isn't it? If it is to be for you to be the kind of worker that you need to be, to provide for your own, to work with your hands the thing which is good, that you may have to give to him that need it, as the Bible instructs us to do in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. It's up to you to do that. Isn't it? Nobody can go to work for you. Nobody can put in the time it takes. If it is to be, if you're going to be successful in whatever endeavor that you take upon yourself in this earthly life, it is up to you. It's up to me to do that. That's true of students. That's true of our young people. Prayer was made for them, and we appreciate that. We appreciate them. Examples of those who remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. If you're going to be successful, if you're going to receive that diploma, you're going to get your degree, it is up to you, isn't it? Nobody can go to school for you. Nobody can do the reading and do the homework and do the study that needs to be done to put in the time that it takes. Nobody can take the test. Nobody can pass those exams. If it is to me, it is up to me. I need to know that. I need to appreciate that. And I'm calling attention today to some spiritual to-be's with appeal to make up our mind to be. May it never be forgotten that one will never be what he ought to be without this mindset. If it is to be, it is up to me. Let me suggest to you, first of all, that the Bible talks about the importance of being a light. In the book of Acts chapter 13 and in verse 47, I read where it is written, the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, and thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. You might underscore where it is said to be a light. And remember these words, if it is to be, what's the rest of that? It is up to me. It is up to me to let my light shine. We live in a dark, dark world. You don't have to go very far to realize that this world is dark. Just go to work. Spend some time out here in the world among those who are worldly, those who do not have God in their thinking. The only time they make mention of him is when they take his name in vain. And realize that this world needs some light. And it's up to me to provide that. In Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus, in the great Sermon on the Mount, likened his disciples to some things, he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it where? Under a bushel. But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all the men in the house. And his appeal is, let your light so shine before men that they may what? See your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. In Paul's address to the Philippian Christians, in chapter 2 and verse 15, he said, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a, what kind of nation? A crooked and perverse nation, among whom whom ye shine as lights in the world. Remember, if it is to be, and to be a light is to be, right? It is up to me. If I don't let my light shine, then there are going to be those who will not see. But secondly, as you think about these important words, how about when it comes to be spiritually minded? In the letter that Paul wrote to the saints in Rome, he talked about different minds. In Romans 8 and in verse 6, he penned, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Notice he said to be spiritually minded. And our statement is, if it is to be, what's the message of that? It's up to me. And so it's up to be spiritually minded, as opposed to carnally minded. The word carnal suggests as that which pertains to the flesh. There are those who have their mind on the flesh. He said in verse 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. In verse 10, if Christ be in you, is Christ in you? Are you spiritually minded? The only person who has control over my mind is, guess who? Me. It's up to me as to whether or not I'm spiritually minded. What kind of mind do I have? Well, what kind of things do we talk about? For out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus taught, the mouth speaketh, in Matthew 12 and in verse 34. And so, if it is to be, it's up to me. I've got to think on the right kind of things. Philippians 4 and verse 8. But also, when I think about spiritual to be's, and if it is to be, it is up to me, I think about Romans 15 and verse 5, where Paul emphasized the need to be like-minded. His prayer and petition was, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be what? Like-minded. One toward another, according to Christ Jesus." And Paul, again, in his letter to the Philippians, this time in chapter 2 and verse 2, said, "Fulfill ye my joy that ye be." How would they fulfill his joy? By being like-minded. He might underscore that ye be like-minded. That's a plea for unity. Whether or not there's unity is up to me. Just think if everybody had that mindset today when it comes to unity. If it is to be, it's up to me. We'd all work toward being of the same mind, wouldn't we? You know, there wouldn't be any division. There'd be no disturbance or disruption of brethren anywhere if all brethren would have this mentality, if it is to be, it's up to me, and to be like-minded. I like the words of Paul in his Roman letter, chapter 12, and verse 16, when he said, "Be of the same mind, one toward another." And then, writing the church of Corinth in chapter 1 and verse 10 of the first letter, he said, "By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." The Lord wants us to be like-minded. If it is to be, it's up to me. We can't be like-minded if I don't have a mind to be like-minded. Some people want to just be different for difference sake. They want to differ with everybody. They are disagreeable. And they'll not be that way. So let's work toward being what we ought to be, like-minded. But I continue along this thought. If it is to be, it is up to me. From Paul's Galatian letter, chapter 4, verse 18. When he wrote, "But it is good," what's good? "To be zealously affected always in a good thing." Notice the spiritual to be. To be what? He said, zealously affected always in a good thing. And so, I say to be zealous. If it is to be, and to be zealous is to be, who's it up to? It's up to me. Can you be zealous for me? No more than I can be zealous for you. It's up to me, he said. And all of us need to appreciate that. The word here, zealous and effective, is both used in a good and an evil sense. As evil in James 4:2, and he used some other words that suggest the same concept. And ye lust, and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. And so there are those who are zealously affected. They desire, they covet, in the sense of as evil. But here he's using that in the sense of good in Galatians 4. To be full of zeal for good. To be zealous in the pursuit of good. And if it is to be, it's up to me to do that. You can't pursue good for me. You can't be full of zeal for good for me. And so, as Paul said in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, remember that Christ gave himself for us to redeem us, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. How's your zeal today? From the Ephesians letter, chapter 3 and verse 16. Paul said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be what? Strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. If it is to be, then what's the spiritual to be in this passage? To be strong. Who's it up to? Who's it up to for you to be strong? Is it up to somebody else? Can somebody else make you strong? How about if it is to be, it's up to me? To be strong, it's up to me to be strong. That's true physically, isn't it? Could you go to the doctor and say, Doctor, I'm weak, could you prescribe me a pill for strength? Give me a strong pill. And you go to the pharmacy and they dispense capsules of strength. And you take those. That's what makes you strong. Be nice, but could you say to your personal trainer, would you mind to get strong for me? Could you do that? Could you get a membership to a gym, or could you purchase the equipment to bring it into your home and say, honey, would you get strong for me? How about getting on that treadmill for me? How about lifting those weights for me? No, when it comes to physical strength, if it is to me, it's up to me. I've got to do it, like it or not. That's true spiritual. You can't get strong for me. I can't strengthen you. When it comes down to it, the thing that it takes for me to be strong, it's up to me. And I need to know that. 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul said, quit you like men. Be strong. Who's going to do that? It's up to me. I've got to apply that to myself. I've got to put that into practice. I've got to do what it takes if I'm going to be strong. The opposite of that is to be weak, isn't it? And there are entirely too many Christians who are spiritually weak. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong. Who's going to do that for them? Could the Romans do that? Could they apply that and be strong and then that? Paul's look at Ephesians to be strong. It didn't work that way. Ye means me. That means you. In 2 Timothy 2:1, when Paul wrote to Timothy, a gospel preacher, he needed a lot of strength. He said, be strong. And Timothy had to realize, like you and I today, that if it is to be, it's up to me to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If I am to be strong, and I am, because of all these passages that emphasize the importance of being strong, it's up to me. And so I've got to step up to what it takes to make that happen. Another spiritual to be, when you think about this great statement, I think it's a classic, is when the scriptures indicate the importance of being content. Philippians 4:11 begins. Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want or need. For I have learned. Oh, what did you learn? In whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. When he talks about state, he discusses that in more detail in verse 12, like the state of being abased or a state of abounding. When he said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both both to be full and to be hungry. That's that state. Some are in a state of hunger. Some are in a state where they're full. They have the things that they need. Both to abound and to suffer need. See the difference in state? To be abased is to be hungry and to suffer need. To abound is to be full and to abound. And sometimes there are those who are in one state, they say, if I just had another state, if I just had this, I'd be content. If I just had that, I'd be content. Contentment is a learned state. And the scriptures emphasize the importance of being content. But some people are never satisfied. It doesn't matter where they are, what they have, what they've done, they're not satisfied. They're not content. Remember, if it is to be, it's up to me. I have to be content. And nobody can do that for you. They can't make you content. It's something we have to learn, isn't it? And I need to learn that just like Paul did. I need to learn and I need to put into practice like 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8 when Paul talked about the fact that we need to be content. 1 Timothy 6, verse 8, rather, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Let us be what?
Content.
Content with what? Food and raiment. We got raiment on. And food, something to eat. That's more than some people have. They don't know where the next meal's coming from. Don't have proper raiment. And so we need to be content. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Here's another good statement. Help us learn this state of contentment. The writer said, let your conversation, that is your conduct, your manner of life, be without covetousness. Covetousness is that desire for more. He said, be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be content with such things as you have. It's up to me, though, to be content. If it is to be, it's up to me. Next. How about to be a teacher? Does this book call upon us to be a teacher? I believe it does. When in the book of Hebrews 5 and verse 12, for example, the book says, for when for the time ye ought, what's the next two words? To be. Ye ought to be. And remember the statement, if it is to be, it's up to me. To be what? To be teacher. For when for the time you ought to be teachers? I need to know that the Lord expects me to be a teacher. I recall reading in the book of Titus, when Titus was exhorted to admonish the older women to teach the young ladies, he said that they may be teachers of good things. Underscore that, Titus 2:3, that they be teachers. Be what? Teachers. Teachers of what? Good things. You might think there's some things that some of these younger ladies need to be taught. They need to learn. They need to know. Well, have you thought about this statement? If it is to be, it is up to me. If you leave it up to somebody else, they may not learn these things that they need to be taught. Like to be sober, love the husbands, their children, be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. They'll never know that, maybe. If you leave it to somebody else. But if you and all have the same attitude about that, if it is to me, it's up to me, then they'll learn a lot of good things. In 2 Timothy chapter 2:2, Paul said, the things that thou hast heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You can't teach for me. You can't make me teach. You can't make me a teacher. I've had a lot of good help over the years. A lot of different people have encouraged me, set a good example for me, and taught me a good number of things. But they can't make me teach. They can't put together the material and get up here and teach it for me. And they can't do that for you either. If it is to be, it's up to me. If you're going to be a teacher, you have to apply yourself. You're going to have to study the book. You're going to have to adopt the purpose of heaven. in Ezra 7 and 10, prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it, and to teach it. To teach in Israel statutes and judgments. And so you have to, you can't teach what you don't know. Study to show thyself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Read, as Paul said, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Ephesians 3:4. So that you can know. So that you can do. And so that you can teach others. Remember, if it is to be, it's up to me. Is being a teacher something you want to be? To be able to teach somebody the truth? To help them spiritually? I don't know of any greater thing you can do for another person. A lot of things might be remembered about you over the years of your life. What about the impact that you've had upon another soul for eternity? If it is to be, who's it up to? Not up to your parents, it's not up to your wife, it's not up to your children. Not up to the elders or the deacons or the preacher or the other members. If it is to be, it's up to them. That's exactly right. As the Bible talks about being apt to teach, 1 Timothy 3:2, one of the qualifications of elders. And the servant of the Lord is to be apt to teach, 2 Timothy 2:24. Do you consider yourself a servant of the Lord? If so, it's required that the servant of the Lord must be apt to teach. It's able to teach. Some are apt to teach and some are apt not to. Right? Apt means able. So say, I'm not able. It's easy to just excuse ourselves from duty, saying, I just can't do that. I'm not able to do that. Does the Lord expect of us anything that we're not able to do? We can develop that. We can work toward that. But if it's to be, it's up to me. I have to put in the time and the effort to make that happen. And then finally, lots of other things could be mentioned. How about when it comes to be a Christian? Are you a Christian today? Are you? Are you a child of God? In Acts chapter 26, when Paul had occasion to speak before King Agrippa, here a king speaks a gospel preacher. In Acts 26:28, remember what Agrippa said? He said, almost thou persuadest me to be what? To be a Christian. What was Paul trying to persuade this king to be a Christian? But you know, if Agrippa was to be a Christian or not, you know who that was up to? That wasn't up to Paul, was it? That wasn't up to anybody else. It was up to him, whether or not he was going to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Yes, that would have been Paul's desire. Paul was working to convert him, persuade him that he ought to be a Christian. But it was Agrippa that had to make that decision. And that's who must make the decision for you. You. Nobody can do that for you. And to be a Christian, first one must obey the gospel. He must be baptized. And that involves hearing the gospel, believing in God of your heart, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in the Son of God. For the apostles were taught, teaching them, baptizing them, Matthew 28:19. And those who were baptized in apostolic days were those who believed. When they believed Philip preaching, they were baptized, Acts 8:12. Repentance comes before that, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. When the Ethiopian said, see, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He was told, if thou believest with all thy heart and thy faith. And the answer said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts 8, and in verse 36 and 37. And so, to be a Christian is to have been taught the truth, to believe it, to obey it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, being baptized. You never, the question, what doth hinder me to be? To be what? To be baptized. If it is to be, it's up to me. It's up to you as to whether or not you're baptized. Oh, there are a lot of people that might like to see you do that. They'll encourage you to do that. They'll teach you to do that, is what the Bible says. But it's up to you. It's up to me. But I made the decision to be baptized. That was up to me. I decided that's what I needed to do. And I did. That's what you'll have to do. As folks in New Testament days were commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord, Acts 10:48. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:60. You remember the question of the jailer in Acts 16:30? He says, sirs, what must I do to be one? To be saved. God would have all men to be saved. But if it is to be, it's up to you. It's up to me. Acts 2:40. That's why when on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You have to save yourself in the sense that you take the action that's required to obey the Lord, who is the author of eternal salvation. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Whenever the scriptures exhort us to be some things, as they often do, just like when in the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3, verse 11. He said, what manner of persons you ought to be, in all holy conversation godliness. I hope you never forget. Always remember, if it is to be, it's up to me. That's true of this church. If it is to be, it's up to me. Whatever the Lord expects of this church, to be what it ought to be, it's up to me. Every person needs to have that mentality and that mindset. And when we are what we ought to be, this church will be what it ought to be. Maybe you've not yet become a Christian. You're not a child of God. You can be. It's up to you. We encourage you. We've been praying for you. We've been teaching what the Bible teaches about you. But it's up to you. But you say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Acts 9:6. And then do it. Maybe you've become a Christian, a child of God, but you've not been what you need to be. You need to confess, I have sinned. You need to repent of whatever it is that is wrong, it's amiss. And take up your place again in the Lord's service. If it is to be, it's up to me. Won't you come now, Lord, stand and sing the song.